This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Thanks for hanging out with us here on 97.1 FM Talk. And also joining us is Jeff Murdoch, White House correspondent for the Washington Times. Jeff, welcome to 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks for having me, Brad. I really appreciate it.
Well, I really appreciate you because there is so much going on, and you being the White House correspondent for the Washington Times, you've got your finger on the pulse of what's going on. And I wanted to start with more Russian hostages being released today. What can you tell us about that?
Well, we got from Belarus, which is a country close to Russia, aligned with Russia. We got an American prisoner out along with two independent journalists from Belarus. And what's interesting is the Trump administration says that they didn't give up anything for them. It was just a show of good faith on behalf of the Belarus government, which I think is incredible. We didn't give anything up. And if you look at the Mark Fogel deal, it's also amazing because what we gave up was a low-level cryptocurrency person convicted of cryptocurrency crimes. You know, you look at the Biden administration and some of their swaps. I mean, the merchant of death for Brittany Griner.
Yes.
Whereas we're giving up, you know, it seems like we're now suddenly negotiating from a position of strength in these deals.
Well, and that's obvious in this latest one, because first of all, Belarus, who I think the president is Alexander Lukashenko, he's basically does whatever Putin tells him to do. And so this could not have happened without Putin's approval. And yet we didn't have to give anything for the release of those hostages.
That's exactly right. And it shows that this administration is willing. They're willing to do the work to try to they're willing to do the diplomacy to try to improve our relations with Russia and ultimately end the Ukraine war. And I think where you see that is this happened just a few minutes ago before I came on the air. So I don't know if you've seen this yet, but President Trump just now spoke about meeting with President Putin in Saudi Arabia. And he predicted that would be the first in a series of meetings that would take place that might include Putin coming to Russia and Trump going to Moscow. You know, under President Trump, under President Biden, he went 4 years without talking to President Putin.
Well, I didn't know that. I've been on the air here, and I wasn't aware of that, Jeff, that there's been that announcement about Saudi Arabia. But I was aware that there were phone calls with Putin and Zelensky. But just before I leave that issue of the release of the hostages, I think what the left doesn't understand, and we saw this whenever piles of money were being given to the Iranians on pallets, that the only way to successfully negotiate anything is from a position of strength, not weakness. And we're seeing that right now, aren't we?
Yes, we are. And we're seeing it because, and you know, we're not just seeing it in Russia, but we're also seeing it in the Middle East. You know, it's really interesting how even the outgoing Biden administration was forced to give President Trump some credit for getting that ceasefire deal done. And now you see Hamas is kind of waffling on the ceasefire deal. I honestly don't think they're going to meet the Saturday deadline. And Trump has basically reiterated that he's going to rain all hell on them if they don't cooperate. He said yesterday, all bets are off. So he's coming at this from a position of strength, but not just with Russia, but you see it in all of our foreign policy initiatives right now.
And so not only did President Trump have phone calls with Putin and Zelensky, but now in light of this meeting, how, at least in your opinion, does that show a position of strength when it comes to attempting to negotiate the end of the Ukrainian war?
Because we're willing to have the talk. We're willing to sit down and try to come up with a deal. You know, President Trump likes to brag he's the deal maker in chief. And it shows we're at a position of strength because he's coming in and he's letting them know, I'm willing to work with you. We've got stuff you want. You've got stuff they want. Let's work this out. Whereas under Biden, he just imposed sanctions, never did anything. And on top of that, we really did not have that much interaction with Putin. I mean, and the relationship really soured after President Biden called for Putin to be removed from power. After that, the relationship, and we can think what we want of President Putin in Russia, but they are a world superpower. They are a nation mm-hmm. that at some level we need to have a dialogue with.
Exactly. We're talking to Jeff Murdoch. He is the White House correspondent for The Washington Times. And I want to play you this clip, Jeff, because one of the topics I wanted to ask you about is all of the left's outrage about Doge and about Elon Musk. And here's a compilation of clips that we put together.
By definition, are we in a constitutional crisis?
Dangerously close to a constitutional crisis.
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 I think this is the most serious constitutional crisis the country has faced, certainly since Watergate.
And all of this, Jeff, is talking about Doge, the Department of Government Efficiency. What have you been reporting recently on what Doge has actually uncovered by looking into all of these various groups, including USAID?
Well, and that's the thing, is I think that the people who are screaming the loudest are the ones who are most afraid of Trump and Musk finding out where this money's going. I think we're going to be shocked when they dig deeper into some of these things. But we're seeing all kinds of crazy things. I mean, we're seeing $8 million for Politico subscriptions for, countries overseas. We sent $2 million to the BBC, the British Broadcasting Company. Britain's a first world country. They do not need foreign aid from us. Thousands of dollars to produce a transgender comic book in Ireland, another first world country that does not need aid mm-hmm. from us. It's crazy. And one of the things I find really interesting, and I thought Elon Musk laid this out really well yesterday, they're all talking about this constitutional crisis. And it's also a crisis that we have this unelected fourth branch of government
yes.
known as the bureaucracy that is making decisions for you and me that will outlast all of the presidents. They will outlast multiple administrations. So what they say goes because they're going to be there. And nobody's talking about that as a constitutional crisis. And then this is further erupted by J.D. Vance and Elon Musk suggesting that the president ignore the judges. Joe Biden did the exact same thing with his student debt plan.
Oh, yes, he did. I covered that extensively, Jeff, because of the Congress had said, you've got to stop eliminating student loan debt, which really wasn't an elimination of debt. It was only a transfer of debt from right. individuals to the U.S. government, which is now $36 trillion in debt. And yet Biden, every time he was told no by the courts, he just kept doing it anyway.
Exactly. That's exactly right. And so I don't know, but we didn't hear that was a constitutional crisis. So it's really interesting. But I think what this goes back to, I think people are going to be really, when they start digging in deep, one of the things I think people don't realize is Doge has only hit the tip of the iceberg here. They have not gone into the Department of Defense yet. They have not gone into the Department of Education yet.
Yes.
I mean, the Department of Defense is an $800 billion budget. What do you think we're going to find when we start coming through $800 billion? I mean, just the law of numbers.
Yeah, there's a lot of $60,000 hammers in there that could be examined more closely.
Exactly. And the Department of Education, I mean, it's pretty much a slush fund for the teachers' unions at this point. So what are we going to find when we go into the Department of Education?
Well, and I was talking earlier in the show, Jeff, about this idea. But when I look at that, the left's yelling and screaming about cutting these programs, trying to find efficiency, eliminating waste, to me, it just goes to this philosophy from the left that says we have to have the government. The only salvation that we have is in government funding. And if you're cutting government funding, even for the ridiculous stuff, if you cut government funding, you're literally cutting our salvation lifeline to our country, as opposed to looking at the government and saying, you're spending our tax dollars unwisely. We're $36 trillion in debt. We need to eliminate that debt. But do you see that philosophical divide here among those who are yelling the loudest about what Elon Musk is doing?
Absolutely. And you nailed it, that they look at government as a lifeline. Government is an employer. Government is the solution to everything. And it's not running its services well. I mean, it should be pared down to provide the minimum in services to what it's supposed to do. I mean, it's gotten so bloated over the years. And the other thing I don't understand with this is exactly what President Trump said he was going to do.
Yes.
And the outrage about this fascinates me because he said he was going to do this. He ran on this. He never, during the campaign, he never shied away from it. The shock is coming from that everybody's so surprised he's doing this.
Mm. We are talking to Jeff Murdoch, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. And Jeff, if you can keep with us here for a couple more minutes, I'm really enjoying talking to you, and I've got some other questions for you. We did see today that Tulsi Gabbard was approved by the Senate. How close was that vote, and what does that vote passage for Tulsi Gabbard mean for other Trump nominations that require Senate approval?
Well, it was a vote along party lines. The Republicans had one defection, which was Senator Mitch McConnell. He was the most notable defection, I should say. But it was a 48-52 vote, I believe. So it was close, but she went through, and I think this shows the advantage of having the majority for the Republicans. RFK is up next. I will see what happens. I don't follow the Senate as closely as I follow the White House, but from what I'm hearing, he should get through. It'll be a squeaker, but he does make it through.
Last question, Jeff. Mm-hmm. When we were talking about Doge, I want to get back to this. You mentioned that we haven't seen any examinations yet of the Defense Department or the Department of Education. Have you seen anything coming out from the White House about when the Doge microscope will be focused on those two entities?
I apologize, you cut out there. I didn't
That's
hear
okay.
Every said Doge microscope.
Well, you mentioned a moment ago that we haven't seen Doge starting to look yet at the Department of Defense or the Department of Education. Have you been given any indications from your sources as to when that Doge microscope will turn on to looking at the Department of Defense and the Department of Education?
It should be as early. I know we're already at the end of Wednesday. I've been told it should be as early as the end of this week or beginning of next week. It's coming soon.
Wow. And do you anticipate there being some big revelations about waste in both of those agencies?
I think we're going to find that has the I think we're going to find them has the big two biggest revelations of waste. If you just look at, I mean, government agency.
Right.
That budget is astronomical. There's going to be all sorts of things. And, you know, with the Department of Education, it's basically exists in service of the teachers' unions. So I think we're going to find all kinds of kickbacks, all kinds of initiatives, all kinds of things that just funnel right back into the teachers' union from the Department of Education.
Yeah, when the light comes on, the cockroaches start to run. Jeff Murdoch, White House correspondent for The Washington Times. If folks want to follow what you write on a regular basis, how can they do that?
They can go to WashingtonTimes.com or they can follow me on Twitter at Jeff Murdoch, Mordock.
Very good. Jeff, hey, thanks for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
It's great to talk to Jeff. Hey, one of the things I'm going to get into between now and the end of the show is I'm actually going to be talking a little bit about what Jeff mentioned, which is Doge. Is it legal? What about the challenges that are coming from the courts?
Oh, good.
And how the Trump administration should respond legally to these allegations of being of Elon Musk being an unelected person who's doing activity that's unconstitutional. I will dive into that next, right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Brad Young here on KZK. Oh, wait, no, it's not KZK.
Too bad she's not in here.
I know, I was going to tease Sue and she walked out. But no, this is 97.1 FM Talk. Brad Young sitting in for Mark. I'll be here till 6. Thanks for hanging out with us this afternoon. And in this segment, I want to break down some of the legal issues regarding Doge. But even before I get to that, here's just some of the things that we've seen reported here. Really, in the last, it's hard to believe, but just in the last 3 weeks is all that we're dealing with here. FEMA, on Monday of this week, Musk discovered that FEMA had paid $59 million to house migrants in luxury hotels in New York City. $59 million. Now, critics will say, well, we have our government spends in excess of $5 trillion a year, and so what's a few million here and there? Well, that money adds up. But more importantly, look at the philosophy of this, that if we spent $59 million to house migrants in luxury hotels in New York City. How much could we have done for those in North Carolina who were displaced by the hurricane, whose homes were destroyed? That these are people who, I don't care if they're white, black, Hispanic, but if they're citizens of this country, how much more did they need assistance to maintain their homes and to feed their families, whereas FEMA spent $59 million to house illegal migrants in luxury hotels in New York City? Is that really a good use of our money?
Of course not.
And the answer is of course not. But it doesn't stop at $59 million, because according to a recently released audit, FEMA has handed out more than $1.4 billion in housing and aid for illegal immigrants over the last 2 years. $1.4 billion.
Good grief.
And then I look at what we're doing again for North Carolina. And how are they being assisted? How could they have used an extra $1.4 billion to rebuild communities, to rebuild churches?
And that is why they're going through this. I don't think this stuff has been gone through or looked at in possibly ever, in decades, but possibly ever. What are we spending money on? Let's look at the overall budget. Obviously, nobody has gone in. Or they have, and they don't care.
Right. Or they don't want to release it because it makes the government look bad.
Mm-hmm.
And
they want to keep their job.
And they'll want to keep their jobs. Because it's interesting. I saw an interview once. This was decades ago, Sue, but I saw an interview with an economist.
Hmm.
And this was an epiphany moment for me. This was in the 90s. And this economist was talking about in the private sector that if you are a widget factory, your job is to build widgets and sell them.
Mm-hmm.
That if you're in the car business, you build cars and sell them. But for the government, the only product that they have is jobs. Their job is not to create anything other than paying people to do nothing.
Wow.
And that to me was an epiphany, that the government really doesn't create any useful goods or services.
No.
It simply transfers the money around that is taken from individuals who do produce useful goods and services.
Yeah, that's a really good point, which is why we want it to be smaller.
Yes.
And not larger.
Exactly. So that's why I wanted to, in this segment, talk a little bit about DOGE and whether it's legal, because we've heard lots of accusations that I think that my favorite line was Elon Musk, who elected Elon Musk to do anything? And in response to that, I would say, who elected the department head of USAID to do anything? Who elected the head of all of the divisions, all the DEI programs in the Department of Education? Who hired that person or people? Nobody. Who hired, and go by any agency that DOGE is looking at, and they're completely run by unelected people.
That's true.
And to me, I think it's ironic that the left is saying those unelected people,
they're fine.
They're fine. But Elon Musk, who's unelected, he's not fine.
Right.
And this is a constitutional crisis.
Even though he's a genius and was put into that position by the president, who was overwhelmingly elected by the people.
Exactly. Exactly. By not only a majority of the Electoral College, but a majority of the popular vote. And remember in years past, particularly under the Bush 2 administration, when the argument was, well, you didn't get a majority of the votes, so we don't have to listen to you. Okay, that argument was everywhere.
It was.
When Bush won both times, because he never got the popular vote. So that argument was, we don't have to listen to you because you never got the popular vote. So the corollary to that is, therefore, if you do win the popular vote, does that mean that we must now therefore listen to you?
Yep, but are they going to do it?
No, of course not. Of course not. But I took a look at DOGE, this Department of Government Efficiency. It's not a cabinet agency. Cabinet agencies require, under the Constitution, require Senate approval. DOGE is not that.
Mm-mm.
So it doesn't require it. So at this point, Elon Musk doesn't have to be approved by Congress. He doesn't have to be funded any money because the White House, the executive branch, has discretionary income that is, in fact, funded by Congress. And that's being used right now to pay Elon Musk and his associates.
Perfect.
So there's absolutely nothing about what he's doing that's breaking the law.
Okay, good.
And yet what we're hearing from the left is that this is a constitutional crisis, that you have unelected people making decisions. And the point I'm trying to make here is that it's all noise.
Yes.
It's all noise designed to delegitimize what Elon Musk is doing. And let's talk about that delegitimization here for just a moment. You remember when Trump was elected the first time, the accusation was Russia got him elected.
Yeah.
because the Russians spent $100,000 on Facebook. And I laughed and mocked at that at the time, because when you have campaigns, look at what it cost Kamala Harris. Her campaign spent over $1 billion.
Jeez.
And she lost. And yet 100,000 supposedly swayed the election in 2016 when $1 billion last year failed to get her elected. It's ridiculous.
It is.
But it's noise that's designed to delegitimize the presidency. When Bush beat Gore back in 2000, the argument was, well, you weren't elected. You were selected by the Supreme Court. Again, that was an attempt to say anything that President Bush does is illegitimate because he was selected, not elected. Of course, those are people who've never read the Constitution and
right.
realize that it's the Electoral College that elects presidents, not the popular vote.
Right.
But that same playbook is going on today. You saw in 2017 and 2018, when Robert Mueller was investigating the so-called Russia collusion. Mm-hmm. Well, what was ironic was, where did that report come? It was called the Steele Report. And it was generated by whom? By the attorneys for Hillary Clinton.
Oh,
so she created the dossier that then was the genesis of a 2-year witch hunt to say that Trump colluded with the Russians, when in fact it was Hillary Clinton who colluded and obtained all of that information from Russia itself.
There you go.
But the point being, and I'm trying to expose the playbook, the point then, the point during Bush, the point during Trump 1, and the point during Trump, too, it's all the same playbook. Throw whatever we can at the Trump administration mm-hmm. to delegitimize what they do mm-hmm. in order to say it's immoral, it's illegal, and it's unethical.
They have no other path.
No.
Because eventually Doge, at whatever pace it goes, will uncover all of this wasteful spending, or at least what it can find. And can you imagine what else is in there that they won't even find? I mean,
we can't imagine. We have no idea.
We have no comprehension of what that might be. And this is all just trying to help everybody. But no.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I'm looking forward to seeing what's going to come uncovered. But, you know, the second element here that's being attacked and delegitimizing what Doge is doing is that, oh, well, Trump's only doing this by executive order, and therefore it's invalid. That's the other argument that we hear. Let me break that down for just a moment. First of all, let's look at USAID. It was created by President Kennedy in, I believe, 1962. Mm-hmm. How? By an executive order. Okay? So the executive order created USAID, and that was fine, okay? But now any executive orders are not legitimate and suspect because it's not an actual law. Now, having said that, I looked at the laws. I looked these up today. The various laws that fund USAID and have so for the better part of 2.5 decades.
Mm.
That money, USAID is not referenced anywhere in any of the funding bills that went into law. It gives that money to the executive branch, but doesn't specify what member or what agency within the executive branch is supposed to distribute those funds.
So it goes back to the unelected officials that have been in there for however long distributing the money.
Exactly. So for decades, we've had unelected people distributing money to Lord knows who, and with no accountability, no transparency.
None whatsoever.
And certainly not in the values of the United States or even of the elected officials of the United States. Nothing like that.
Mm-mm.
So in this instance, one of the things that Trump has made very clear is that he doesn't want to eliminate all the funding of USAID because a lot of it is very good funding. He wants to eliminate the bureaucracy of USAID and have the money that's been dictated by Congress or allocated by Congress to be spent through the State Department instead of having another bureaucratic agency that spends the bulk of their money having bagels every morning to discuss how they're going to issue memos that no one will read.
Boy, that's a really good point. And it's very rational. It's all very rational.
Yeah. And yet we're hearing howling and screaming and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But on this issue of now we have this whole issue of constitutional crisis because Trump supposedly isn't following the law. And on that point, we played that clip earlier about the constitutional crisis. I want to just play this again. Clip 12, Ethan. This is what we're hearing right now from elected officials on the left and the mainstream media. Of course, I'm being redundant. Clip 12. Here's what they're saying.
I've been hearing those words a lot lately. But in fact, the real constitutional crisis is taking place in our judicial branch, where district court judges in liberal districts across the country are abusing their power to unilaterally block President Trump's basic executive authority. We believe these judges are acting as judicial activists rather than honest arbiters of the law. Quick news flash to these liberal judges who are supporting their obstructionist efforts. 77 million Americans voted to elect this president. We will comply with the law in the courts, but we will also continue to seek every legal remedy to ultimately overturn these radical injunctions and ensure President Trump's policies can be enacted.
That's exactly the way this is supposed to go.
Exactly. And it sounds to me like these courts and these judges are just acting politically, right, to try to get their way rather than following what the law says.
Mm-hmm. And on this issue of presidents not following the law, mm-hmm. I also did a little research on that well. When Joe Biden was vice president, you remember there was an issue with Ukraine even back then. Because we were sending funds to Ukraine to help them withstand what was anticipated to be an onslaught by Russia, which eventually happened. But you remember there was an investigation into, was it Burisma? I can't remember. I'm sorry. As I'm thinking about it, it was an executive corporation on which Hunter Biden sat as the board of directors. And there was an investigation by the chief federal prosecuting attorney in Ukraine to investigate the company where Hunter Biden was on the board of directors. Mm. Biden said this. He said, because there were billions of dollars being allocated to Ukraine, even then, President Biden said this, quote, "You're not getting this $1 billion until you do this," unquote. And the this was fire the prosecutor.
Oh, my God. Okay?
So even though Congress required that money to go to Ukraine, Biden said, "You're not going to get the money unless you fire the prosecutor who's investigating my son."
That is disgusting.
We forget that these things happen because we have such short memories. Let's talk about the so-called student loan forgiveness. The courts over and over and over every time.
Yeah.
In fact, his record was zero. He didn't win one.
You can't do it. You can't do it.
You cannot forgive the loans because forgiveness wasn't forgiveness.
Of course not.
It was simply transferring the debt of those loans
back to us.
Back to us and adding to that $36 trillion deficit. Every time the court said no, the Biden administration says, okay, we're going to still do it.
Yeah.
And they try to come up with new and different and so-called creative ways to violate the court orders from courts, from circuit courts to the Supreme Court. They continually violate it. Where was the left saying that was a constitutional crisis?
Didn't hear it.
Didn't hear crickets. That's all that we heard from that were crickets. So when I look at all of this, I say, well, number one, you're being disingenuous, left, because you're not calling out how literally Biden violated the will of the Supreme Court, and they still did it anyway. No complaints then. DOGE is legal because Trump is working in the executive branch, does not require Senate approval, and all of the funds that are being trimmed because of waste, fraud, and abuse.
That's right.
And those funds that are going to go to legitimate feed the hungry, help people prevent AIDS, all of those are legitimate programs, will still continue to be funded through the State Department, but without the excess of a bureaucracy, so people can dream up ways to fund DEI programs in Uganda.
It's genius. This plan that he has and is executing is genius. And, of course, all we get is, it's horrible, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I've laid out the policy and the legal reasons why DOGE is not only legal, but it's essential.
And you have to think that they set it up this way so that he wouldn't have to be approved by Senate, that it would be just through the executive branch, fed through the State Department. It makes perfect sense.
And I hope, you know, God bless them, that when I say they, I mean Trump and Elon Musk, can stand even in the face of this ridiculous criticism and keep reducing what we spend on government so that we and our children and grandchildren aren't charged with paying the Chinese for the debt that we have driven up to $36 trillion. Listen, I don't want to pay the Chinese money on our debt.
Nope.
And this is how we start the process of reducing that national debt.
Yep.
Hey, we're going to take a break. We've got the audio cut of the day coming up next on The Mark Reardon Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to The Mark Reardon Show. My goodness, where has time gone? Thanks for sticking around with us this afternoon. Brad Young sitting in here. And Sue, what have we not heard about AI recently? In other words, AI's in the news all the time about doing practically anything, right?
Oh, yeah.
From teaching us how to, for AI reading and
they
creating, writing scripts and doing movies and everything. And in case lawyers think that they're immune from AI.
Oh, boy.
Oh, this is funny. There was a case, a Walmart case that just, the news just broke this week. It's a case against Walmart where plaintiffs are suing, saying that somebody bought a hoverboard, it was defective, and they got hurt. I'm like, what? Have you ever seen Back to the Future? I mean, these things can be dangerous, right?
Yes.
So they're suing Walmart, but here's what happened. And this is why I think this is so interesting. In a brief filed with the court in this litigation, the plaintiff's attorney who's suing Walmart, apparently they filed an AI-generated brief.
Oh, my gosh.
And all of the case law, because in a legal brief, which I write all the time, you have to cite court precedent to support your arguments.
Uh-huh.
Well, none of those citations were even real.
Oh,
they were all
gosh.
They were all generated by AI, right?
They didn't even go back to check.
Nobody checked. So they filed these briefs.
Oh my goodness gracious.
The attorneys for Walmart, as I do, when someone on the other side files a brief, I go and I check what they wrote, right? Said, sorry, plaintiffs, but
this isn't even a thing.
No, these are all made up, right? So now these attorneys are having to submit real briefs to say, why should they not be sanctioned?
I was going to say, thank you.
For filing fake briefs.
Oh, my goodness. What would a sanction be for that sort of thing? Not that this has happened before or that it's a prevalent issue, but what would your guess be?
Well, I don't have to guess because I have a case dealing with this right now.
No way.
And in fact, tomorrow, I've got a hearing where the other side filed the exact same thing, where they filed a brief. It was written by ChatGPT.
Oh,
it was
gosh.
Obvious. And the case law was completely bogus and fictitious. And I've got a motion tomorrow to dismiss the other side's pleadings.
Good.
So when I saw this, I'm like, hey, that's not just in the news. That's in my life.
Unbelievable.
So I've got this tomorrow at 1 o'clock on a hearing on this exact same issue.
Oh,
but
my gosh.
The sanctions could be, in this Walmart case, could be anything from, number one, whatever the discovery motions were about, you lose.
Yeah.
Okay? Whatever the issues were,
goodbye.
You lose on those motions. But also, it could also be an award of attorney's fees for having to deal, for the defense attorneys for Walmart, to deal with bogus briefs filed by the plaintiffs.
Absolutely.
And there was a case in Missouri last year, exact same fact pattern. Somebody filed a brief. It was all fake citations, ChatGPT. The Court of Appeals ruled in Missouri in 2024 on this case that their appeal was completely dismissed because, as the court said, you are attempting to use fraudulent case law to persuade the court.
That's a really good point. That's a great foot on which to stand, right? Because this doesn't even exist. How dare you? So not only did you fake it, and we can't really say you faked it, but you faked it, but it, you used stuff that doesn't even exist. What is that? Oh, my gosh, that's so irresponsible.
It is irresponsible, but even... Even the legal area is now being impacted by AI.
Because I never thought of this.
Because this is simply going to be more and more of a problem. As people get lazy, listen, my day, I love coming in here because this is easy, okay? Yeah. At my real job, it's all busy all the time. And it would be easy to say, oh, I'll just have ChatGPT write this for me, and then I can move on to something else. But that is, as they say, fraught with peril.
Do you think that... that AI will try to catch up? In other words, try to have at least real cases referred. So when you see a case, that case doesn't even exist. It's not a case that exists and talks about something else. It's completely false and doesn't exist at all.
Well, I think that eventually AI could catch up with that, okay?
Yes.
Because cases are available online
for
free.
Exactly my point.
But there's two issues with that. I don't want to dive too deeply in case it's not very interesting, but... One issue is fake case law. The other issue is if you've got a Missouri case, and I've seen this in my case that I'm arguing tomorrow, not only did the plaintiff cite fake case law, but the rest of their brief that they filed, because it's a pro se plaintiff, the rest of the case law cited in her brief are cases from Canada.
Oh, my God.
Cases from California.
Oh, my goodness.
From Utah. And you think, why should a Missouri court... follow any case that comes out of California, but AI doesn't know that. They don't understand that case law from California means nothing to a Missouri judge.
Man, it's going to get better and better and more interesting to try to catch this.
Oh, I'm looking forward to talking about that more, and I'm also looking forward to the cut of the day.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
You know, earlier in the show, and I think we brought it up a couple of times during the show, that we've had this differing and a divergence of philosophical views when it comes to the role of government between conservatives, libertarians, and progressives. Well, I wanted you to hear from Ayanna Pressley, Congresswoman. Here's her take on DOGE.
I'm trying to figure out exactly what it is that the Republicans believe our job is, because right now they have relinquished their constitutional duties over to an unelected bureaucrat, someone who no one went out to vote for. And absolutely, he is occupying the Oval Office, as we saw yesterday. And that is a first for me to see someone occupying the Oval Office who's never actually been elected.
Now, Sue, do you see how Ayanna Pressley, see how her comment there fits in exactly with what we were talking about in the last segment?
Absolutely. And she can just go on and say that, and then the news sources will pick that up, and it gets repeated ad nauseum, and none of it is valid.
And that's the one thing that I really like, I've always liked about talk radio, is because when you watch the news... all you see are snippets because it's all about can you say it in 20 seconds or less. When TV stations reach out to me to do legal analysis, they always say we need it in 20-second sound bites.
Yeah.
This is an issue that defies a 20-second sound bite.
Yes.
Only in talk radio do you get that level of in-depth analysis to make the decisions that you need to make every day. Brad Young. Sitting in for Mark Rearing today. I've had a blast.
Thanks, Brad.
Coming up, more Dave Glover next on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.